You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to site now. We've got you covered for what's happening, the latest with the NFL draft previews, pro days, updates, rankings, all that good stuff, as well as updates on NFL free agency that you can track there. Here at Locked On Fantasy Football, we're in the middle of another great series. If you missed any of the previous shows, check it out. But we're breaking down the depth charts at the offensive skill positions for every team in the league. We're doing it by conference, AFC and NFC. We just completed our look at all 32 quarterback situations over two shows, the AFC and the NFC. Now we're going to turn our attention to the running back. So double dose there. We'll cover all the AFC teams in the alphabetical order by city, 1 through 16. And we'll do that again with the NFC. And again, wide receiver and tight end around the corner as well. So a lot of good analysis here. Catch up as well if you missed anything with some of the free agency moves and how teams are kind of setting up for the draft. This is your source here on Locked On Fantasy Football. This episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. All right, let's look at running backs, and the Ravens, we know, are a good place to start. They're a very prolific running team. No more Mark Ingram, so none of that mix here. It is the J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards show here going forward. Justice Hill sticking around is a good swing number three here, but Dobbins broke out with the touchdowns down the stretch. Edwards very involved here, so two very good backs here. Edwards figures to be the power back, maybe cuts into the scoring a little bit, but Dobbins a good receiver. More versatile, so a lot of that lost production of Ingram is going to fall to Dobbins and Edwards. So I'd say right now Dobbins, because of Edwards' presence, is more of an RB2, and Edwards is a RB2 borderline in certain leagues, but more like an RB3 flex, really. So Dobbins and Edwards, a good combination. They didn't need Ingram. They moved on from him. Good locker room presence, but just didn't have it anymore as a runner. He had a lot of wear and tear on the other side of 30, so they move on. So Hill becomes a valuable number three here for the Ravens. Let's look at the Buffalo Bills. They do have the same combination they did from last year, those later round draft picks. Devin Singletary and Zach Moss, they were definitely disappointing. Part of it was Josh Allen did all the big rushing production on the ground in terms of scoring, and they were a pass-happy team at time with Josh Allen last year. So when Allen wasn't scrambling, he was throwing the ball around to his talented wide receiver. So not a lot to be seen here. The Bills had some offensive line issues, especially in the tier, shuffling it up with some injuries here. So hopefully they can get a little bit better running the ball, but team belt to throw the ball a little bit more. They added someone to the mix. He's notable, and we thought he was going to be the starter with the Dolphins last year playing off Jordan Howard. That didn't happen. Matt Breida, he was pretty much not used at all, was hurt, and they saw Miles Gaskin as a revelation in Miami as a runner. So Matt Breida is now part of the Bills' backfield. Breida can be annoying. We've seen his role in the 49ers fluctuate, and he can play when he's hurt and all that, but again, I don't love this backfield situation at all. Singletary and Moss, we talked them up so much the past 2 years. The Frank Gore situation, we thought Moss could have a bigger year. They didn't use either of them that much. They were touchdown dependent, Singletary more reception and yardage dependent. So again, pretty interesting mix. But again, I don't flock to the Bills' backfield here with this trio that we're looking at. With the Bengals, I think they could have an upgrade here at some point. They need to get a little bit better. The power back. They do like their Oklahoma guys, don't they? They have Joe Mixon. Samaj Perine is in there. Then you have Travion Williams. And you also have Gio Bernard still sticking around. So Mixon, Bernard, Perine kind of combination. But I think the Bengals should be in the market here for a little bit of a power back upgrade. Bernard's getting a little older. Perine is just a guy. Williams hasn't flashed all that much. Mixon is breaking down as well. We know he was hurt for much of last season, so you got to hedge your bets. Mixon getting a little older. They put a lot of high volume on him. So I would think they're going to be in the market to add a rookie to this mix here in Cincinnati to try to further help Joe Burrow and just get a body here that can run if something should happen to Mixon again that isn't Bernard and his slowing down nature. Let's go then to the Cleveland Browns. And the Browns, they got to think about paying Nick Chubb here soon. So this thing could be tenuous here if Chubb doesn't like what he's hearing. They also have Kareem Hunt. Could they go in that direction? So Chubb and Hunt, we know how valuable they were in fantasy football as a dynamic duo on a run-heavy team here for Cleveland. Behind them, not much to see here because Chubb and Hunt, they keep each other fresh and that helps them produce. We know Chubb went down last year. Hunt was the guy and really carried the load here all around. So again, good 1-2 punch of players here. There are others. Are Darnus Johnson and John Kelly. Remember him? He was hyped up with the Rams. He's their fourth running back for the Browns. So I don't see the Browns actually going after running back unless it's an indication that they're not ready to pay Chubb what he wants and are satisfied with Kareem Hunt in the backfield. So something that we're going to watch there if they add a body to the mix in Cleveland. And looking at the Denver Broncos, there was a big change here that we have to break down. Melvin Gordon kind of took over the job, came over with Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator. He got a big deal there and pretty much said he was going to be the main runner. And much to the chagrin of Phillip Lindsay, Melvin Gordon was the feature back. Phillip Lindsay couldn't stay fully healthy. He wasn't out there consistently, but certainly they didn't give him a chance to keep his 1,000-yard role from the previous two seasons in the previous regime of offense. So that was not great for Phillip Lindsay. He wanted out of the situation. He is out of the situation. So now we're not sure who the backup is because you have Royce Freeman in there, but you also have Mike Boone. Remember Mike Boone? He's been pretty good with the Vikings behind that combination of Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. So he wanted a little bit of a chance to step into a better situation. I think that's it. Gordon's an older back. He's got some wear here. Freeman is in a good spot here because he's pretty versatile. He's pretty good in passing situations with his blocking and pass catching when needed. Mike Boone, a pretty good power runner. That kind of fits the system well here of Pat Shurmur. So now your depth chart, Gordon's on top, but I think it'll be a nice battle between Boone and Freeman to see who will be the new number two here with Phillip Lindsay out of Denver. All right, so there you have it. There's a look at the five teams first off in the AFC that we're getting to the running backs. Then we'll get into our next 11 over the next two segments. So stick with us here. We'll get to every team and give you a full breakdown analysis there. But I got to tell you, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why are doors often pointless, receiving intimidating questioning, and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home in your pocket. Chain stores can have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account. Log in to RockAuto.com. You'll find a catalog that's unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle. Choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now to save and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked on there, how'd you hear about us box and know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. That's rockauto.com. We've also been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now we're there. We're here at the end to find out who is the champion. The champion, I should say, at Built Bar Madness. We've reached the end here. We've had some great contenders all week. Cookies and cream, cookie dough chunk, and mint brownie. We're here at the end, so check it out there on who won, who will be winning. And you can affect that at BuiltBar.com. And you can also check out bar_built on Twitter to find out more about Built Bar Madness and the championship that is here. And remember, if you want to order Built Bars, which you should be doing, it doesn't matter what flavors you get, you're going to love them all with their great flavor. It's the protein bar that tastes like a dessert. All you have to do is use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Again, that promo code is LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Make sure you check back to see who is headed to the championship and is the new best tasting protein bar. All right, we will now continue with the show in a moment. As a programming reminder, get all the sports and news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let us continue here. The team that we didn't get to as we transition to the H's is the Houston Texans. And we talked a little bit about one fellow there, Philip Lindsay, moving on from the Broncos. Well, he signs with the Texans. So this is an interesting gathering here of Texans running backs. You have David Johnson. They moved on from Duke Johnson. The number two right now would be Philip Lindsay, but he also has Mark Ingram. So two casts off here in Lindsay and Ingram. They end up with Houston behind Johnson without Duke Johnson. And then you also have Buddy Howell. So interesting collection of backs here. They could go full committee. Lindsay could easily win this job. He's special. I think that's why he went here, knowing Johnson's durability issues and the fact that Ingram is getting older as well. So Lindsay may have landed in a great spot here to get back control of being a potential RB2 in Houston. So we'll watch that situation, but you figure with Lindsay still being a young back, Ingram being a veteran back, you have Johnson still with a good contract here that might take the Texans out of the running for running back, especially with Buddy Howell having some good value there as a number four. In Indianapolis, this might sound familiar to you. So they brought back Marlon Mack, which was a surprise here for the Colts. John Taylor, the unquestioned featured back. Naeem Hines, the unquestioned receiving back. I think now you look at Mack and Wilkins. I don't know if they're going to keep both those guys. Maybe Jordan Wilkins is finally an odd person out here in this mix. I think they just like Marlon Mack, his running style, pretty powerful. So you think here Jonathan Taylor, if he can handle the full load, run well on early downs, be a good receiver here, that Hines is that relief on third downs of those passing situations for Taylor. Maybe even less so this season as Taylor has a featured role from the get-go, and Marlon Mack can handle some of the early down issues. So I would expect what they're trending toward right now, with Wilkins possibly being left off the depth chart in the end, is a Mack Hines committee approach here as your backup situation to Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis. As we go straight down, it just happens to be we have a third AFC South team in a row. It is your Jacksonville Jaguars, and they got a backup here for James Robinson. His name is Carlos Hyde. He came over from the Seahawks. He was a pretty solid backup last year for Chris Carson when Rashad Penny was on the bench. So Carlos Hyde returns to Jacksonville. So it's a re-return. It's a revenge signing, so to speak. Remember, he was at Jaguars and Chiefs and some of these other teams after the 49ers. Well, he's back in Jacksonville as a veteran backup to James Robinson. Great year as an undrafted free agent. They still have the couple of DOs there behind them. That would be Dare Ogunbowale and Divine Ezigbo. They're still on the roster, but Carlos Hyde is the clear-cut backup. Remember his history with Urban Meyer having played for him at Ohio State, which certainly helps his case there. We move on to the Chiefs. Their backfield is very similar. We know that Damien Williams opted out. Well, he's opted out of the Chiefs because they did not bring him back here. So Le'Veon Bell, Damien Williams out of the mix here. So now you're down to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. One, Darrell Williams, who was the backup to CEH for all of last season during his rookie year. And Darwin Thompson. He's still hanging around here for the Chiefs. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire should be in a bigger position to be a feature back and produce here. I think they need to lean on the run a little bit more. Take pressure off Patrick Mahomes. Really help that new-look offensive line here. So Edwards-Helaire should have a bigger role. Williams has been very valuable. He's a good pass protector, can catch passes, can finish off drives. So good, solid backup. They didn't need Damien Williams for that reason. So, or Le'Veon Bell, because Williams is just this. Darrell Williams is just a very solid player all around for their backfield. And Darwin Thompson has some juice and some upside, we know. And they like him a little bit in the return game as well. So Edwards-Helaire, Williams, and that's Darrell Williams and Darwin Thompson, your current Chiefs depth chart at running back. Now we stick in the AFC West, and let's look at the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, there was a bit of a surprise, and we don't like this at all. This was our most head-scratching free agency move here. The Raiders gave Kenyon Drake a good chunk of change behind Josh Jacobs. I don't know if they like to collect Alabama backs, but that's what they did. So you have Kenyon Drake, Josh Jacobs. That screams committee here, which is not great because Jacobs and Drake have similar skill sets. Drake is a good power runner, but so is Jacobs. Drake, I think, is a little bit overrated as a receiver. Jacobs is a little bit better in that area. But this is also confusing because they have Jalen Richard, who's a good receiver, a good change of pace back. Then they added Theo Riddick. So Theo Riddick and Jalen Richard, very similar players. Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake are very similar players. So I don't know what the Raiders are thinking, but this is not good news for Jacobs. I mean, Drake is not just that plug-and-play backup. You sign him, you invest in him, you're going to use him, and maybe they've been disappointed in Jacobs so far, but that's the way they're looking at it here with Las Vegas here. More of a committee approach, and it doesn't hurt that Richard is still there to catch passes, and now Riddick could cut into that value as well for Jacobs. So, yeah, we're shaking our head and not liking it, but that's the way it goes for the Raiders. The final team we'll talk about in this segment is your Los Angeles Chargers. Their backfield could be room for an upgrade. The one thing I will say is one person's out of it, Kalen Ballage. He's moved on to another team. Spoiler alert, it's another team in the AFC. We'll get to their depth chart in a moment. So they're led here, the Chargers are, by Austin Eckler. We know Justin Jackson's still around. You have Joshua Kelly. You also have Darius Broadwell, who's a good hard knock star there at backfield. So four-person committee, Eckler is going to be the key touch man. We'll see how they change it up here with Joe Lombardi. And Joe Lombardi had that Alvin Kamara sensibility. We've seen it with Theo Riddick. The back catching pass is a big deal. So Austin Eckler is going to be a big part of the offense. They're going to find the right power back to complement him. So Joshua Kelly, we'll hope that's him and he can rebound there. Justin Jackson's is good, but he doesn't have that same power pop that Kelly has. Kelly just has to put it all together. Jackson a little bit more reliable there. Maybe Darius Broadwell has a bit of an opening, or they will look for a little bit of help in the draft in this new offensive system with Lombardi. All right, so there's a look at six more teams and their depth charts in the AFC. We still have to wrap up with five more. We'll do that in our final segment. I do have to remind you that BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, NHL, and the college basketball with March Madness are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline is covered for all the new scores and odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use a mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All you have to do is enter the promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, and you will receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. We'll be right back here to close the show looking at the rest of the running back depth charts in the AFC from the Dolphins to the Titans. All right, five more teams to talk about. Catch you up on their backfields in the AFC. I do have to ask you, however, are you ready for the NFL Draft? Join Locked On NFL Draft hosts Trevor Sikma and Benjamin Solak as they give you their latest positional rankings analysis on the 2021 draft prospect with team-centric guest mocks right around the corner. Follow Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's look at the final depth charts here at running back. The Dolphins seem to be attached to the market of drafting a running back. I don't know if there's necessarily need to do that. Myles Gaskin had a pretty good year as a borderline RB1. When healthy and productive there, I know that was the hard thing, the durability. Sometimes that'll make a team go look for a replacement. So I can see them in the mood for a power back to add a little bit of explosion there in this backfield. So Myles Gaskin, for now, leads the way. Immediately moving into number two is Malcolm Brown, the former Ram, the Rams swing guy. He a very valuable guy over the years to the Rams, did a lot of little things right for them. So he is in the mix now in this backfield. And you also have Salman Ahmed and Patrick Laird, a couple of holdovers. Ahmed had a little bit of a flash there when Gaskin was hurt. And Laird was a swing guy a couple years ago that they used, so he could be the odd man out in this backfield, especially if they add someone. But right now, yeah, Gaskin and Brown look like the top of the depth chart here for the Dolphins, and could turn into a full-blown committee, but Gaskin did look very good last year. We'll see again if they add a running back in the draft. Now, the Patriots have kind of streamlined their backfield a little bit, but it's still pretty crowded here, even without Rex Burkhead. Damian Harris is first on the depth chart, but he's the early down guy. Sonny Michel would be the second early down guy. Brandon Bolden, his special teams work, he's still in the mix here. And James White was brought back in the fold. So it was a bit of a surprise. He really didn't connect well with Cam Newton. We thought he could end up there with the Tom Brady, with the Patriots. That didn't quite happen here for James White. So the same kind of committee approach. Harris is a swing guy that they can put in. Passing situation, Michelle is pretty much a power guy. White is pretty much a receiver. Again, Bolden is just a swing guy that they use that is primary special teamer. That's why he keeps hanging on with the Patriots. So I wouldn't expect too much shakeup in this Patriots backfield, especially after re-signing White. They hope Harris can be healthier. Michelle should be healthier from the get-go. So it can get it ugly committee-wise here in New England, that's for sure, in 2021. Now, the Jets of backfield, I think this has room to improve for sure. The 49ers combination there took over this team. Robert Saleh, the former defensive coordinator of the 49ers, and the former passing game coordinator, Michael Floor, is their offensive coordinator. So you thought they could sign a 49ers back. It was Tevin Coleman. So Tevin Coleman right now will be the top of the Jets depth chart. That's how bleak it is. So you had Frank Gore, they'll move on. So you have Tevin Coleman, then you have Ty Johnson there, and you have Josh Adams. So this screams like the Jets are going to add a running back at some point. Maybe Coleman eases the burden of them trying to go after one in round one with one of their two first-rounders, the extra one acquired from the Seahawks. So, again, the Jets definitely could be shaking this backfield up, and they should be in the market here on their radar for Najee Harris and Travis Etienne and other top backs in the 2021 class. Well, we said Kalen Ballage moved on to another team, signing a one-year deal, leaving the Chargers. He is now in the Steelers' backfield. So James Conner, by the way, has not been re-signed. So it doesn't look good for James Conner here. Pittsburgh has said they're not going to give the workload completely to Benny Snell. You have Anthony McFarland, a speedster, change of pace back. You have Jalen Samuels, receiving back. You have Trey Edmonds. Now you have Ballage in the mix. I think somebody might clean this up here in the draft. So look out for Harris maybe going to the Steelers in the first round. Would not surprise me. They need a just an all-around legitimate running back here. Again, you don't like to use a first-round pick necessarily if your team like the Steelers, but Najee Harris is a special talent. I think that would be a good wheelhouse to look at him. You could look at Etienne as well. But the Steelers would say they have a crowd of backs, five backs here. But when I say five backs with limited skill sets here, I say they have no backs. So hopefully the Steelers will realize that and make some changes here. But they've already admitted that Snell is not a guy that they want to give a feature workload to. Ideally, he's just a limited power back here, not exactly an all-round receiving back. And that's what you would get with Harris. He would fit their style there for Matt Canada and this new offense, but also have some running ability to get loose and show some juice here in the passing game. And finally, let's look at the Tennessee Titans again. Darrington Evans, remember we talked him up as a good rookie backup out of Appalachian State for Derrick Henry. Well, Evans wasn't healthy. Jeremy McNichols there, former Buccaneer, he's in the mix. So Evans and McNichols are your two backups to Derrick Henry right now. So maybe the Titans will look for a bit of an upgrade there. But Evans didn't really get a chance to get going. I think he could be a special change of pace back with some power tendencies here for Tennessee if he can stay healthy. But it's going to be key for him to stay healthy, or there's going to be no clear-cut handcuff situation here for Derrick Henry. McNichols, again, got some playing time last year, but that's how you look at it. They're in Tennessee, Henry, Evans, and McNichols as our final AFC depth chart there. All right, so there you have it. There's the running back updates and analysis for the AFC here, transitioning from NFL free agency to the NFL draft. We'll do all this again with the NFC tomorrow, so check out that show. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Fantasy Football. This is Vinny Iyer. Have a great day, and we'll continue with our depth chart updates on tomorrow's show.